Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the main roster, live once again across YouTube, Facebook, and Twitch. We're here this afternoon with our special episode running down WWE Extreme Rules 2021. My name is Jez. I'm joined by Dan, and we've certainly got some opinions coming at you this afternoon.
Oh yes.
Yeah, and just to get off on it straight away, I'm not sure extreme is really the adjective I would apply to this pay-per-view. Extremely something, but
this was WWE regular rules.
WWE Extreme Rules / WWE we make up the rules as we go along.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, that's every pay-per-view and television show, right? That's nothing new.
Yeah. Nothing new there at all. That's the same old different day.
Well, you know, hang around to discover what the rating system is for this pay-per-view. We always mark it out of 5. Hang around to see what out of 5 it will be at the end. But before we do get to Extreme Rules, we did have a pay-per-view quality match, a championship match, to start us off on SmackDown, if I can speak.
Yeah, so the championship action got started Friday night on SmackDown when Shinsuke Nakamura defended the Intercontinental Championship against former champion Apollo Crews. Crews started the match hot, tossing the champion unceremoniously, out of the ring and continued his dominance, countering the Kinshasa into a Samoan drop for a near fall. After Rick Boogs took care of Commander Aziz with a massive belly-to-belly suplex, very well done, outside the ring, Nakamura was able to counter Cruz into a roll-up and pin him to retain the Intercontinental Championship. Roll-up. Mm.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I mean, I'm not drinking anything alcoholic at this time of day.
Neither am I.
But a drink is a drink.
Yeah.
And it must be done for a roll-up.
Yeah.
Well, my drink will come out again, I think, if I remember rightly, for the rest of the show.
Yep.
Pretty standard match.
Yeah.
Just fulfilling that Fox criteria that we've talked about before of having a championship match on the show before a pay-per-view. Mm-hmm. What did you think of it?
It was all right. I liked it. I was very impressed with Rick Boogs for doing a belly-to-belly suplex to Commander Aziz without hurting him.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that was a really good move. I think Rick Boogs is massively underrated, and I don't understand where that came from, because he did have a handful of matches in NXT, and when he did, he was terrible, has to be said.
Yeah.
And I don't know whether that period of time happened and he was terrible and they took him off TV and polished him some more and gave him some more training, but it wasn't a huge amount of time between that and him coming up to SmackDown with guitar. So yeah, but no, fair play. His matches have been impressive. That belly to belly suplex was impressive. Good old Rick Boogs, I dig it.
Yeah, good old Rick Boogs.
And I hope they don't split this pairing up in the draft.
No, I think it works so well, so good.
Yeah, yeah.
Let it keep going.
Yeah, and at the end of the show, we're gonna kind of chat about and predict what we think is going to happen in the draft, and I do have an opinion about Shinsuke and Boogs, so yeah, we'll come back to that.
Right.
Prediction competition, it's underway.
We are
underway in Q4 of our prediction competition. Well, no, it's Q3 actually, because Q4 will actually run through to January next year. Yeah. Because that's Survivor Series to Royal Rumble 2022, not 2021. It is 2021.
It is 2021 now.
Yeah. So, Q3.
Q3.
Done slightly different for us compared to previous. Rather than it being pay-per-view on pay-per-view, it's just going to be a total of all of the matches that we predict between now and Survivor Series to give Dan a better fighting chance of retaining that championship, really. This is the honest truth of the situation.
Like this one.
That's the one, yeah. Yeah, my baby.
It's mine.
that you've got on your
mine,
your snot green wall over there. Good afternoon, Mr. Harmstone on Twitch and Mr. Smith on YouTube. Thank you for joining us. Woo. How are you doing? Wait, Dan, you know. Dan has the belt.
Yes, this one right here.
You shut your dirty mouth, Harmstone. This, you know exactly what's happening.
Right,
but
here.
Back to what I was actually saying. We both predicted that King Nakamura would retain the championship, and therefore we have a point each.
1-0.
From this pay-per-view so far. It's 1-1 on this pay-per-view. We came into this, we should say, came into this event 0-1. I had 0, you had 1 from a championship match that we predicted a few weeks ago. So well, I'll give you a total at the end, but we'll count them just for this pay-per-view for the sake of making life easy.
Yeah,
we're doing wonderful, Carl. Other than the fact that certain events at WWE Extreme Rules, we're going to have to talk about them as part of this podcast. That's the only thing that's wearing us down at the moment. But let's crack into the Extreme Rules event, shall we? And the Extreme Rules kickoff gave us a rather confusing match between Carmella and Liv Morgan. Liv Morgan did not defeat Zelina Vega on SmackDown, and therefore the match was not supposed to happen, but it did. Go figure. Thanks, WWE. And Liv Morgan was able to put together a good match and defeat the self-proclaimed most beautiful woman in all of WWE.
Yeah.
This immediately, just to kick off proceedings, was a match that happened.
Yes, it was a match that happened.
It was a match that happened that wasn't supposed to happen.
Yeah, because Liv didn't win.
Yeah. And I guess something happened in between SmackDown and the pay-per-view where they're like, oh, we'll have it anyway. Maybe a WWE.com exclusive or something on Talking Smack. But hey, you know what? Most people just watch your television show. So maybe do the thing on your TV show, rather than making it confusing between your TV show and your pay-per-view from a Friday to a Sunday. Like, how are these guys like still in business at this point?
I've no idea.
I can't find a good decision made by WWE in a very long time, other than keeping the Universal Championship on Roman Reigns. That's about the only good decision that they've made. Oh, and giving Big E the WWE Championship.
Oh, yeah, giving that.
That was a good decision too. But other than that, in terms of
everything,
the day-to-day running of the company, it just seems like they've no real idea what they're doing. And this is a multi-billion dollar company.
I think we could run it better.
I do as well, especially if I had all of the lackeys and yes men that Vince has, because they don't argue.
More resources.
Yeah. Go do this. Okay. Okay, boss, I will. No. Easy, surely. But
shall we put our applications in?
Yeah. They did actually open there was a job opening in WWE that was publicly advertised a few months ago, and loads of people went for it. Yeah, it was just in headquarters, like as a I think it was like a social media creative director or something like that.
You didn't fancy it?
Well, I did, but I'd have to move to Stamford, Connecticut, and while I would be okay with that, it wouldn't bother me in the slightest, my wife would have something to say about it, I think.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the main breadwinner of the family wouldn't be able to do her job without having to go and do more qualifications. Although she would now, actually. She would now, actually. She's got a master's degree, so she'd be fine. But
Yeah.
There you go. Next time I'll apply. I didn't really think it through.
Yeah.
It's a long shout from creative director of social media to, you know, creative team writing the show and trying to make sense of things that don't make sense. Yeah.
Hey,
but
first step in the right direction.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I suppose the first step in the right direction is showing just how predictable the current writing is. And we both predicted that Liv Morgan would walk away with a victory, and she did. Therefore, on the night, it is Jez 2, Dan 2.
Kibble. So, we'll move on to the main pay-per-view, shall we? So, in a late addition to the pay-per-view, the New Day took on AJ Styles, Omos, and Bobby Lashley in a six-man tag team match to kick off the main show. AJ Styles started the match and remained in the ring until Big E tagged in. The WWE champion manhandled Styles and tossed him into the corner, demanding the former champ, Bobby Lashley. Lashley was triple teamed by a unicorn stampede before gaining some momentum and tagging in Omos, who took advantage of his smaller opponent. Confident in their dominance, the heel team allowed Omos to tag out, which allowed things to return to a more even back and forth match after AJ Styles and Lashley blind tagged each other. Things went wrong for their team. Styles set up Big E to be speared by Lashley, but miscommunication meant that Styles found himself speared by the Almighty and pinned by Big E to bring home the win for the freshly reunited New Day.
And I think I enjoyed you channeling your inner Pete Dunne then more than I did this match, actually. Just to... Yeah. There was a time in which they would book pay-per-view matches and there would be a stacked card of fully booked pay-per-view matches right down to the lower card, you know, European Championship or just a rivalry between two random guys. And you wouldn't have to randomly put your WWE champion in an impromptu random match. Yeah, those are not the days. I liked the match. I suppose.
Yeah, I liked the match, sort of. Yeah.
It wasn't a pay-per-view match though. It was, you know, a main event of Raw kind of match.
Yeah.
We didn't predict it, obviously, because it was never supposed to happen. No. And by the time I knew it was happening, the event had already taken place. So.
Yeah.
Could have predicted it then, I suppose, but would have made it even easier to predict.
Yeah.
And continues the rivalry between Big E and Bobby Lashley that started 2 weeks ago when he cashed in his Money in the Bank. And we'll get to that when we have a little brief discussion about last night's Raw at the end of the show. But this was this too was a bit of a match that happened.
Yeah. Can sense a theme here, can't we?
Yeah, just a little bit. Yeah, yeah. I'm just going to pick up this comment from Carl Smith in the chat. I agree. I thought that same thing a few years ago already. Yeah, I mean, this isn't a new phenomenon. Things were getting better though. Like, you know, when we started this podcast, it was half to complain. Better. It was half to complain about what WWE did, but also it was because things were getting better and we were entering what we felt was a golden age of wrestling with AEW starting and with NXT on a roll, and then that feeding into the main roster. We're like, this is going to be great. We're going to be talking about quality wrestling for years to come. And then, this happened. You need real rivals again, like Stone Cold versus Vince, Rock, Lesnar, Triple H. Yeah. There was a time where any 10 guys could be champion. I don't even know if I'm happy with 3 now. It's true, you know. I think part of the reason that I'm enjoying Roman Reigns as Universal Champion so much is that there isn't really anyone else that I would have beat him on that current SmackDown roster.
Yeah. Like
Finn Balor, sure, okay. I might have had him beat him, but
I'd be down for that.
No. I mean, I agree with you. There's not a whole lot of like big name talent knocking around there.
Can't think of anyone else.
The last, hang on, let's kick it back. At least 3, maybe even 4. So we've got Big E is the current champion. Lashley was the champion before that. Yeah. Who did he beat? Randy Orton? He beat Drew McIntyre.
He beat Drew McIntyre, yeah.
Who beat Randy Orton? So the last 3 WWE champions have been first time or at least, you know, very new WWE champions. There isn't somebody who has kind of been at the top of the company for a long time. Even Randy Orton, he hadn't held the belt in a very long time and had been in the obscure mid card for a very long time, fighting your Bray Wyatts and your Edges, that kind of thing.
I don't know.
They released half the good guys.
Yes,
they're over on over in Jacksonville for the other company now. That's a deeper conversation that that we tend to have every week, but we'll continue another day. And we'll we'll crack on with Extreme Rules.
Ordinary rules.
Yeah. Next up was the SmackDown Tag Team Championship match with the Usos defending against the Street Profits. Got something to say about the Street Profits in a moment. After being beat down by the Bloodline on SmackDown, Montez Ford was struggling and had his ribs taped in the match. With Angelo Dawkins doing the lion's share of the work in the match, the Usos were able to double-team him on regular occasions. Despite this, Dawkins refused to quit, and the Usos were only able to walk away with a series of near falls. Towards the end of the match, the Usos took out Dawkins from the match by tossing him into the ring barricade, and Ford was forced to step up, which he did, and almost picked up the win with a huge frog splash. Now isolated, the frequent tags of the champions proved too much, and the Usos retained the SmackDown titles with a double team Uso splash.
And again, obviously, tape around your ribs fixes bruised ribs.
It worked for me, obviously, when I broke my ribs, except it didn't. It made no difference whatsoever. I tried it. I'm like, hey, if WWE has taught me one thing,
really
if you break your ribs, just put some bandage around them on the outside of your ribs, which are damaged on the inside. And that'll see you right.
You'll be fine.
Yeah, funnily enough, a helmet to the midsection proved differently when it happened to me. But I digress. The thing I wanted to say about the Street Profits is how... No, it's a good thing. It's a positive thing.
Okay.
Ish.
Oh, God.
I was very impressed with Montez Ford on SmackDown in his kind of singles position.
Yeah.
He reminded me a lot of a young Rock.
Yeah.
And I feel like the writing is... probably on the wall for the Street Profits, not because you know they've run their course, but because if anybody was watching what I was watching from WWE Creative, I want to be putting like a rocket up Montez Ford's ass, metaphorically, and like launching him to the top of the card.
Yeah.
Might need to polish things up in the ring a little bit and kind of bring down the high flying a little notch, but I think that is a superstar of the future, Montez Ford.
Yeah.
I was very impressed with how he handled himself on the mic, first of all, how he dealt with the match with Roman Reigns, and then how he sold that beating that he got at the end. I just thought that was perfect from start to finish. Again, it's on SmackDown. SmackDown is the only watchable thing in WWE at present. May change in the draft. But yeah, I was impressed with that. What did you think of the Tag Team Championship match?
Tag Team Championship match was all right.
It was a tag team match that happened.
Tag team match that happened.
Its only real purpose was to fill a spot on the card and to keep the belts with the Usos so that they can keep the Bloodline together as a unit.
Yeah.
Other than that, it was there, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know if maybe WWE are just phoning it in now because nobody's really paying for these events anymore. In the sense that it's part of a larger package on Peacock in the States.
Yeah.
It's cheaper than the network was. It's half the price. And, you know, if you're not happy with the WWE content on Peacock, then there's a whole plethora of other NBC Universal programming for you to go. So WWE can just say, don't like Extreme Rules, go watch Law and Order. Whatever.
Yeah.
We don't care anymore. Whereas when they were charging like $50 a pay-per-view,
yeah,
if they churned out something like this, people would be asking for their money back. You can't really do that anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe they are kind of just going meh now.
The rumours have popped up again that they're preparing to sell WWE.
Yeah.
I still don't believe it. I just don't see Vince ever
I don't believe it.
Releasing his grip.
No.
Because if Vince had given up and he truly didn't care, then why would he not just hand it over to Triple H to run it like NXT and let them have the massive success that they had there? Yeah. But anyway, predictability reigned. The Usos retained, as we both suggested. Jez 3, Dan 3.
And Carl from YouTube is, that he's returning to WWE. Paul Heyman has dropped a hint that the Beast incarnate might be returning to WWE. Truth or fiction? Well, you might be a bit late.
It has happened, Carl.
It's already happened. SummerSlam.
The next event, not that we'll be covering it because it takes place in Saudi Arabia, but the next event, the main event of which is Roman Reigns versus Brock Lesnar for the Universal Championship. So, yes,
it's already happened.
He is back. He has a top knot. Got the longest hair he's had in WWE. He's got a top knot.
Turned into a lumberjack.
Yeah, he looks like he's eaten every lumberjack in the world and has come back to be the chief lumberjack. That's what Brock Lesnar looks like now.
He is the lumberjackiest.
Yes. Welcome, Duff and Tamsin. Hello, hello. Now getting an opportunity to say hello. Welcome on in. Thanks for being here. And we'll crack on with the first women's championship match of the night.
My future wife. The first singles championship match of the night saw Raw Women's Champion Charlotte, minus the flair, if we're being funny, defends the gold against Alexa Bliss, accompanied by Lily, of course. The match featured Alexa Bliss much more like the Alexa of old, and the pair fought a good match, but as the contest moved towards the ending, Charlotte used Lily to outsmart and distract Alexa Bliss. Charlotte picked up Lily and Alexa begged for her back, so Charlotte used this to her advantage to throw it into Bliss's face and followed the doll with her boot. The Queen then hit natural selection and pinned Alexa to retain her Raw Women's Championship. After the match, Charlotte dismembered Lily and furthered a beatdown of Bliss, throwing her over the announce table. With Charlotte gone, Alexa got into the ring and cried over the carcass of her fallen doll comrade. Poor Lily.
Yes, indeed. Thank you for the follow on Twitch, Montanez 1998. It's a good year, good vintage, should we say, for wrestling. Right. First things first.
Oh.
I haven't been paying enough attention. Have they referred to Charlotte as Charlotte Flair this week?
They have. But there's been people saying, are they going to keep calling her Charlotte Flair ever since they've kind of dropped everything of Ric Flair off the website?
Yeah, well, they've not only WWE, but everybody have cancelled Ric Flair after the Dark Side of the Ring.
Yeah, so
documentary came out.
I reckon it's only a matter of time before she just becomes Charlotte.
See, I don't know whether they're going to keep the name and just try and make it more her and just forget about Rick.
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't. That's the way I'd go. Like the sins of the father, as it were, shouldn't be propelled onto the daughter. But what's Flair done? He...
What hasn't he done?
Well, it stems from an event colloquially known as the plane ride from hell from back in 2002. There was a flight back from here, actually, from the European tour from England to the States to go back and do their regular thing, in which all of the roster, pretty much, got absolutely rat-assed. And the majority acted inappropriately in varying different ways. This is the infamous flight in which Vince McMahon challenged Kurt Angle to an amateur wrestling match in the middle of the aisle. And then The Undertaker woke up from a nap. He was napping, saw that Vince and Angle were fighting, thought they were just legit brawling, and choked out Kurt Angle and put him to sleep legitimately on the plane. So that, you know, but that's all on them. No one was really hurt in that situation. The Flair thing, apparently he and Dustin Rhodes, Goldust, were... What's the best way of putting this on a PG show? Were... perverts?
Yeah.
Lechy scum with the flight attendants, and were groping the flight attendants and propositioning them for sex and just generally being horrible lechy men, while hammered off their face. Not that that excuses it, but and then the documentary about this plane ride from hell came out last week with interviews with some of the flight attendants and interviews with some of the ex-WWE talent that were on the plane telling the truth of the situation for the first time. And the people who have come off the worst are Ric Flair for being a dirty old man. Dustin Rhodes has, but also he has kind of been forgiven a little bit because he basically came out and said, yeah, I was a dick back then. Many things were happening in my life. I apologized for my conduct back then. He's the only one that really came out and said and addressed it and apologized. Yeah. So he's kind of been semi-forgiven and let go. Yeah. And inadvertently, Tommy Dreamer has got himself in trouble for basically saying, ah, it's not a big deal, is it? It's, you know, it was 20 years ago. Who cares? Like,
he's been suspended, hasn't he, from Impact Wrestling?
Yeah, well, it doesn't take much for Impact Wrestling to suspend anyone. Like, it's not like they really care about their product anymore. But yeah, he's not there anymore, at least for the time being. So
I'm just thinking with the Flair thing, because they've obviously taken pretty much everything of Flair down off their websites.
I mean, they were doing that anyway, because they'd released him from his Legends contract.
But, you know, I sent you that picture of that new belt.
Oh, yeah. The Ric Flair belt.
Series Ric Flair belt, which is about nearly close to, makes no difference, £1,000. I wonder if they've still got that going.
Probably not. They probably won't, unless, you know, they sell it and all the proceeds go to the flight attendant that he sexually assaulted, potentially. Yeah.
I've got to look now.
Lol, that's why I love this roster today, because they just play games. Yeah, not that Vince will let them. Like, hey Vince, can we go on a plane and grope some people? Yeah, sure thing, pal. Oh, cool. Can we go on Twitch and play video games? No, that's not acceptable. Damn it! I'm Vince McMahon. I don't even know what Twitch is. Yeah, so that's Ric Flair, and why Charlotte Flair may casually drop the Flair and just be called Charlotte.
Yeah.
WWE love single names anyway, so who knows?
Massive
digression to the actual match. What did you think of the match between Charlotte Flairish and Alexa Bliss?
Charlotte Flair. I quite liked it. Obviously, it had Alexa Bliss in it, so of course I liked it. just Alexa Bliss being Alexa Bliss.
Yeah, yeah. It's great to see Alexa Bliss properly back in the ring again after so long. She hasn't had a proper match other than, you know, a quick squash with some weird supernatural shenanigans for a very long time. So it's good to see her properly wrestle it out with Charlotte Flair. You know, as much as you and I don't really like Charlotte Flair, she's a great candidate to have a quality match. So that was good. How did you feel about the dismembering of Lily and the breakdown of Bliss afterwards?
I'm wondering where it's going to lead. I want her to go, like, absolutely lose it and just go absolutely army all over everyone.
Yeah, yeah. I was hoping to see something on Raw, but nothing. Mm. Nothing.
Oh.
Yeah. Montanez said, Raw did suck. We'll get to that later. But is it probably Bray time on Wednesday? As in, if Bray Wyatt was actually released, the 90-day no-compete clause is up, and he could potentially debut on Dynamite on Wednesday. So do we think he is going to AEW, or do we think he wasn't actually released, and he may pop his head up in the draft, or in this Alexa Bliss situation? What do you think?
I would, we've said it before, love it if it was all just a work, that Bray Wyatt's gone, but The Fiend hasn't.
Hmm.
I would love that. But then again, this is WWE.
Yeah, I don't think they're that clever. I just think this was an error.
Yeah, I think he's going to the other show. Unfortunately.
Yeah, I think we will see him soon, especially with, and this is not an AEW podcast, but with what has been happening with the Dark Order and their slow kind of breakdown, I do think that they're going to throw Wyndham Rotunda into that mix. Mm. Or
will he come out as a different sort of fiend character, just call him something different?
Yeah, well, it'll be a different name on it. It won't be The Fiend.
Friend.
the fiendish monster. I don't know. Like, they're not very good at renaming people in AEW still, even after all this time. But And Montanez, we'll put a pin in your Keith Lee comment. We're gonna talk about that later. We're just running through Extreme Rules at the moment. We'll get to Raw afterwards. Well, doing things in chronological order in which they happened. But Dan, I have some excellent news.
Yes.
And that is that I predicted Charlotte Flair would retain. Point for me. And you were compelled by other body parts to predict Alexa Bliss. And ergo, no points for you. Jez 4, Dan 3 on the night.
Always go for Alexa Bliss.
I assume you've unfollowed her Instagram with all of the photos of her and her fiance getting ready for their marriage.
Show up.
I'll take that as a yes. Moving on to the next match. The next contest was the triple threat match for the WWE United States Championship, and saw Damian Priest defend the ball bag belt against Sheamus and Jeff Hardy. The match was about as triple threat turn-takey as you'd expect, and there were moments throughout the match in which any man could have won. However, after a frenetic back and forth that saw Jeff Hardy on the receiving end of a brogue kick, Damian Priest rolled up Sheamus to retain the United States Championship.
Now, as it was Extreme Rules, I was kind of hoping this might put a little bit of Extreme Rules into it, because obviously a triple threat match, there's no countouts, no rope breaks,
etc.
Qualifications. I thought maybe it's come on, we can actually get an Extreme Rules match into this Extreme Rules. No.
It's just, you can't make it up, can you? You just can't make it up. The only match other than the main event that had the potential of having some extremeness in it. The worst we had was, I can't remember who it was, but somebody held on a submission beyond the 5 seconds because they were allowed to after a rope break.
Cloverleaf.
On Jeff Hardy. From, yeah, that's it.
And
yeah,
he grabbed
yeah.
the rope, and then the referee had to tell him there's no rope breaks.
Mm. Unlucky Jeff. What? And I asked this last week. What was the purpose of adding Jeff Hardy to the match?
I don't think they know what they're doing with Jeff Hardy.
No.
Like what happened on Raw.
Well, yeah, we had a an Extreme Rules match, effectively, yeah. on Raw between Damian Priest and Sheamus. But
Jeff Hardy was in a tag team match.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he was the one that was beaten, right? So, was it him that was pinned? No, he rolled up Sheamus. Oh, by the way, roll up, drink.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, why did Sheamus get another shot when he was the one that was pinned?
I have no idea.
None of this makes sense.
It doesn't make sense.
The more we break this down and analyze it, the worse it gets.
Yeah. And why are we doing it?
This is the worst it's been. Like,
yeah.
Never been this confused in my life.
Wow.
Not about wrestling, anyway. Right. Let's just dispense with this match before it completely fries our brain. I predicted Damian Priest would retain. Point for Jez. 5-3. Because you predicted Jeff Hardy. Unlucky.
Yeah.
And before we crack on, say hello to Jaeger and hello to Grimskull, who said hello a long time ago, but then I got off on a tangent and forgot to say hello. But hello, Grimskull. Thank you for dropping the follow on Twitch. Following everywhere now. Love it. Absolutely beautiful. Hope you're all having wonderful days. And yeah, let's progress with the show.
So, next, the SmackDown Women's Championship was on the line when Becky Lynch defended the championship against Bianca Belair. In her second match back, Becky Lynch showed off some new moves in her arsenal and took Bianca Belair to the limit. The match was extremely even, see, an extreme thing, and nearly went the way of both women. But just as the match was drawing to a conclusion, Sasha Banks made her return to WWE and attacked Bianca Belair first and then the champion, Becky. Belair won the match as a result of a disqualification, but the belt cannot change hands under these circumstances, and so Becky remains the SmackDown Women's Champion.
Yes, indeed.
I have a question for you.
Oh, God, here we go. Yep.
Are we going to take bets for how long Sasha Banks is going to stay around?
I mean, we could. It's one way of earning a point, I guess. Yeah, she's back again. Hair's different. Yeah, again. Wonder how long it is before she gets bored and decides that she hates wrestling again. I didn't think, but my respect for Sasha could dwindle any further. But yeah, it continues to dwindle. It's unbelievable.
It's disappearing.
Yeah. What a waste of a pay-per-view match between these ladies who did put on a really good match. I was ready to, you know, fully win this prediction and for Belair to win the championship. Or equally, I'd have been happy with losing it and Becky Lynch retaining. But, you know, we were robbed of the ending by Sasha. And I guarantee that they're going to completely ruin this by splitting these three women on different brands after the draft. And so we'll never actually get the full and proper conclusion to this.
Yep.
Or we'll get it on a pay-per-view that's supposed to be, you know, the new people against the new people, but we'll still be cross-branding old brand rivalries because they just can't write long-term.
Yep.
So, yeah, I've got nothing else really to say about the match because they ruined the ending for me.
Yep.
Now I've been extremely generous in this instance because I should be having the points and me alone, technically, because Bianca Belair did win by disqualification. Yes. Sasha Banks hit her first. But because, you know, she attacked both people and just totally ruined the match, I'm giving us both a point.
Okay.
Because I'm that kind of guy. I'm a nice guy. I'm generous. And that means that brings the current score to Jez 6, Dan 4. Still two ahead of you.
Yep.
Just get that in there. Two. That's that's two lots of one. That's one more than one. I've run out. Anyway, moving on to the main event. The main event for the Universal Championship, as the Demon, Finn Balor, challenged Roman Reigns for the title under Extreme Rules. Woo!
Yay.
Yeah. Reigns began the match confused by his possessed challenger, but soon went to work on Balor before leaving the ring to retrieve a kendo stick. As Roman turned back towards the ring, Finn was nowhere to be found, but he soon popped up from the other side of the ring with a deadly creation of several demon-coloured kendo sticks shackled together. It's a good camera angle, at least. Roman next got a chair, but that also backfired on him as Balor double-stomped it onto the torso of the champion. The tribal chief finally took control for another brief moment, tossing Balor into the crowd, and then leading him to the kickoff show table once again. But Finn Balor surprised the champ and delivered a crossbody through a table. Back in the ring, however, Reigns returned the favour and slammed Balor through a table of his own. Reigns dominated for a period and went for the cover, but as Finn kicked out of two, he returned the favour from their last match and delivered a low blow while raising his shoulder. Balor hit coup de grace and went for the win, but the Usos arrived and dragged the Demon from the ring. Balor was able to dispatch of the cousins, but this distraction allowed Reigns to blindside his challenger with a spear through the ring barricade. From this point, shenanigans. Balor's lights and music hit in the arena to rejuvenate the Demon, but as Finn ascended to the top rope to once again hit coup de grace, the top rope gave away and Finn came crashing down. Reigns hit the spear and pinned Finn to retain the Universal Championship.
Yeah. There's a few things I like about this match.
All right, well, let's get those out of the way. Yeah, okay.
Let's start positive.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, I liked the fact when Roman Reigns threw Finn Balor into the audience, he demanded a mask.
Yeah, I like that too.
That's brilliant.
Massive heel move, yeah.
Heel move, brilliant. And also protecting himself, considering he's dealt with cancer.
Yeah, he's got a suppressed immune system, fair enough.
And I did actually quite like when the Demon sort of rose.
Oh, piss off. That was awful.
I liked that. I quite liked that.
No. That was awful. And let me tell you why that was awful. Because the Demon is not a possession. Or he wasn't, anyway. Like, it's not like the Fiend or, you know, the Undertaker and that has supernatural powers. The Demon was just something that Finn Balor brought out from himself to give himself extra strength. It was never about freaking supernatural powers and demonic possession, despite him being called the Demon. He wasn't the Demon either. He was the Demon King. That's what Finn Balor means. It means Demon King. So, no. I take your like of the raising and throw it on the ground.
All right then.
Yeah. Was that it? Was that all the things you liked? Yeah. Is it the Kiss theme Demon? He does look a bit kissy. Yeah. He does look a bit kissy from the 90s. But you should look up Demon Finn Balor Duff. I think you'll like a lot of the face paint designs. Mm. Yeah. And I'm a massive fan of the Demon King, Finn Balor. I cosplayed as him back in 2018, a while ago. Can't remember. A couple of years ago when he was during his NXT run. Mm. Yeah, so I like that whole stick up. I like that it brings out more in him. And I liked how, you know, every time that Reigns got some kind of offense on Finn, he turned it around using weapons or or yeah. some kind of extra thing, fine.
Yeah.
But I just hated that it became a demonic thing. And I didn't like the end.
I didn't get the end.
It just didn't make any sense. I hope that they go on to explain that, like, I don't know, Paul Heyman pulled a pin out. I know that's not how The Ring works, but pulled a pin out and it dropped. Yeah. Or there was some kind of sabotage, knowing that Roman Reigns would never go to the top rope. Yeah. They sabotaged it so that when Finn went up, it broke. But the main thing that I didn't like, I would have accepted the ending a bit more if they'd have timed it better. But Finn Balor was stood on that top turnbuckle for like 10 seconds before the thing broke. And you're just like, well, there goes my suspension of disbelief. You knew this was going to happen because he's just stood there going, okay, waiting for the spot. Any moment now, the spot's going to happen. Bear with. Hold on. Yeah, you just lay there, Roman. I know I'm supposed to be jumping on your chest with the full force of my feet, but hold on. There's a spot coming. Wait for it.
Something's happening. Hold on. Bear with.
Any time. No, these spots are like trains, man. Right, they're never on time. There he goes. It was just terrible. Again, multi-billion-pound company can't time a spot correctly. Like, you knew it was going to happen. This was not a surprise to you. You had probably practiced this.
Yeah.
It's just awful execution.
Yeah.
As far as I'm concerned. And it totally ruined that ending. I hope they at least go on to explain it and that it was sabotage. Fine. They needed something. They weren't going to put the belt on Finn Balor.
No.
At one point, I was like, oh, maybe they're going to. And that was the point at which Michael Cole corrected Pat McAfee and said, well, if Roman Reigns does lose the championship, he'll still face Brock Lesnar. It just won't be for the championship. I'm like, okay, cool. That sounds like you're correcting him because that's what's going to happen. I'm like, okay, cool. Yeah. I'm ready for this. I'm ready for Finn Balor as Universal Champion.
Yeah.
But alas, it didn't happen.
It didn't happen.
And to be fair, it wasn't what we predicted. We each predicted that Roman Reigns would retain.
Yeah.
And he did. So we end the show with a score of Jez 7, Dan 5.
Mm-hmm.
Add that to the existing score of Jez 0, Dan 1. Puts me in the lead.
Yeah.
Jez 7, Dan 6. Whoop whoop.
Whoop whoop. What was that?
That was the sound of me getting my baby back after Survivor Series. You should get used to that sound.
No, you won't.
It's going to recur.
No, you won't.
Over and over again.
No, you won't.
Oh, that's cool. I meant Brian Adams, who played a Kiss-backed wrestler on WCW. Yeah. Yeah, he was in Chronic. I liked Chronic. Another team that WWE ruined. They were great in WCW. And then they're like, Chronic, they're just the APA, right? Okay, well, we've got one of those, so... Never mind. Just let these guys wrestle out their contracts and then release them. Job done.
Job done.
Thanks, Vince. On to the viewers prediction competition, which is also different for this quarter. Each individual pay-per-view winner will be added to a prize draw, which will be drawn after Survivor Series. So at any point, you can be in it to win it, even if you have missed previous pay-per-view events. But the winner of the Extreme Rules viewer prediction is Rooster Beast.
Yeah. Who,
is a regular name in the predictions and narrowly missed out on winning the last quarter because he got his ass kicked by a little cute girl who appeared earlier and I forgot to say hello to. Hello, little cute girl. Don't hit me, please. So Rooster Beast wins. He goes into the prize draw.
Yep.
The next opportunity will be at the Saudi Bleep Show. We'll predict it, even though we're not going to really address it too much.
Nah.
But we got to get those points, man. So we'll predict it anyway.
Yeah.
And you guys can predict it as well.
Yeah.
And now, before we move on to have a brief chat about Raw and the upcoming draft. Yes, I know how you feel, but we have to. I will ask you, Dan, to give me a rating out of 5 collapsed turnbuckles.
Oh, 1.5.
Ouch! Okay. See, I don't think it was quite that bad. Because some of the things on it were good. But they just generally weren't very well thought out or, in some cases, necessary. But the main event was good on... I don't know, you might be right.
Now you're just trying to justify it.
Yeah.
This is what you're doing. You've got a point, you've got a number in your head, and now you're just trying to justify it, and you realise you can't actually justify it.
I am. I'm trying to put a bit of confirmation bias onto this a little bit. Yeah. Because the number I had in my head was 2 out of 5.
Yeah, no, you can't.
Yeah, I can't give it 1.5. There have been worse pay-per-views. Have there? Have there been worse pay-per-views?
Really?
They really have. You know. What Name was that? One. That awful ECW pay-per-view. With the Elimination Chamber. I forgot what it was called. No. December to Dismember. That's it. Oh, Christ, that was bad. Which I believe was the last appearance of Bobby Lashley before he left the company, if I remember rightly.
But out of pay-per-views we've reviewed.
Oh, out of pay-per-views we've reviewed. This is up there as the worst. Yeah. I do feel like that SummerSlam from, was it 89?
Was that one?
88, 89. I feel like that was worse.
Yeah.
Yeah, but not by much. At least this had, you know... The Raw Women's Championship match was good.
Yeah.
I was fine with everything that happened there. The content of the SmackDown Women's Championship match was good, apart from the ending. The content of the Universal Championship match was good, apart from the silly demonic possession and the ending. And then the other matches weren't offensive. They were just pointless.
Yeah.
So exactly. I guess that's why I'm giving it a 2 rather than a 1.5.
Okay.
I won't be as harsh as 1.5 because it wasn't bad. It was just a waste of my time.
Okay.
Fair enough?
Yeah, okay.
Still, I think we're fairly agreed that it was not a good event. And I'm glad I didn't have to spend proper pay-per-view money on it because that would have really made me cry.
Yeah.
Really, really made me cry.
Yeah.
Now, a couple of key events from Raw. The first of which
ain't gonna be PG.
What was that? Can we say that this section is not gonna be PG?
Yeah.
I mean, if you feel like you can't talk about Raw without dropping a few swears, then yeah, fine. You know, explicit content warning coming up. Go for it. Go on. Tell me what you need to swear about on Raw. Go for it.
Fucking Bearcat.
Yeah, so Keith Lee made his return to Monday Night Raw as Keith Bearcat Lee.
What the fuck?
the cork is off now and the F-bombs are dropping. Yeah, as... Montana's 1998 said earlier. I understand why he's Keith Bearcat Lee, because of the original Bearcat. Okay, fine. I haven't got a problem with the name Bearcat necessarily. Why the frick is Keith Lee been renamed Keith Bearcat Lee? He already had a gimmick. He was, you know,
he had a gimmick.
He was the limitless one. He was Limitless Keith Lee. No, leader of the Legion. We all like a pun around here. Yeah. And now he's just a generic monster heel that is called Bearcat. What even is a Bearcat? I didn't know. Like, What type of animal is a bear cat? Is it a bear? Is it a cat? Is it both? Oh, it is both. Hang on. That's a weird looking thing. Right.
Get a picture.
Yeah, I've got it for you. Hang on. Let me just bring up the browser. Jump. Well, that isn't working, is it? Oh, there you go. Turn it on. What are you doing? Silly thing. Come on. Nope, that don't want to work.
I'm just going to Google it myself.
Yeah, do. Yeah, that doesn't want to work. Sorry about that. But yeah, it looks a bit like a bear and a cat. This much is true.
Oh, Christ.
It does look like
that's a freak
kind of like an experiment gone wrong, to be fair. So I suppose that's apt, considering I think this Keith Lee heel turn is definitely going to be an experiment gone wrong.
That's a weird thing.
It is a weird looking thing. Hang on, maybe I have to press this button. What if I try now? No, weird I've totally broken that, haven't I? How have I done that? I've well and truly broken that. Oh, it's trying to pick up the wrong thing. Try that one.
There we go.
Stupid thing. Right, there we go. It was picking up the wrong monitor. Yeah, that's a bear cat. So,
weird thing.
In what way does this resemble Keith Lee? Can we ask that question?
I have no idea.
Like this dude does not look happy, for a start. Yeah.
How does that look?
I don't know.
Why couldn't they've just called him like a bobcat or something?
Why couldn't they have just not? You know.
Why couldn't they've just kept him as he is?
As Limitless Keith Lee, you know. Ah, dear me. Yeah. So I wasn't happy with that. I cringed so hard when they announced him as Bearcat. Keith Bearcat Lee, that my face almost collapsed in on itself. I cringed so hard. It's unbelievable. So, yeah, that was something that happened on Raw. The other thing was, and it was advertised previously. Oh, my camera's all broken there. It's weird. It was advertised previously that we would have a WWE Championship match to start the show. And in true WWE tradition, starting the show means we'll have a bit of a match and then something will happen and then the match will be pushed to the main event.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what happened. Yeah.
The Hurt Business is back.
Yeah, that's a thing.
That's something that's positive, I guess.
It is, yeah, yeah. Which makes me wonder if they're going to bring together Roman Reigns and the Bloodline and Bobby Lashley and the Hurt Business.
That'd be good.
That could be a thing.
Might
bring them in the draft. And yes, hello champ on YouTube. I think you'll find that this guy's the champ. He's got all the belts. But welcome on in anyway. When is Goldberg returning? Good question. Not until after the draft.
No.
And it'll be to wherever Bobby Lashley is.
Yeah, because he's challenged him to a match at the Saudi shit show.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, that was on Raw.
I didn't hear him say that bit. I heard him talk about Gage. I heard him challenge him to a match generally. I didn't know it was going to be.
Yeah, I think I could be wrong. I think it's going to happen at the Saudi shit show.
Probably. So there you go. That's probably your answer then, champ, at Saudi shit show. Mm. Yeah, the cork is definitely off now.
Yeah,
dropping bombs.
Yeah. Dropping every bomb.
I'm not even going to edit it for the podcast version. I'm just going to put an explicit tag on it. Can't be bothered. Just can't be bothered. Yeah, I don't think much else happened on Raw that merited discussion. Really. Love Shayna Baszler.
Shayna Baszler absolutely annihilating Eva Marie.
Yeah, we'll talk about Baszler more as that progresses.
Dewdrop versus Charlotte for some reason.
Yeah, for some reason is right.
Yeah.
It was a Raw that happened.
Yeah.
So let's now we're going to close out with a little bit of prediction, again, not counting towards our prediction competition, but just generally speculating about the upcoming draft this weekend and what we think is going to happen with it. So do you want to kick us off with some thoughts? What do you think is... what's your main kind of big thing that's going to happen as part of the draft?
I think you kind of touched on it earlier when we were talking about the SmackDown Women's Championship trio of ladies. I think one of them, it won't be obviously Becky because she's a SmackDown Women's Champion, but either Sasha or Bianca, and I'm drifting a little bit more towards Bianca moving to Raw.
Yeah, the thing to consider there, well, actually with the majority of these people, with Bianca Belair and Becky Lynch, is that they've been trying to keep partners together. So wherever Becky is, Seth will be.
Yeah.
And wherever Bianca Belair is, the Street Profits will be. So unless they break up the Street Profits.
Which I can't see happening.
I know. I don't. As much as you know, I'm ready for Montez Ford to go on a singles run. I don't think it happens yet. I think you know, at least one good championship reign for the Street Profits again. Milk that cash cow for all it's worth, because they're still super over after all this time. The crowd still really love them. So yeah, milk that while you can. Yeah, I would personally go with Sasha Banks to Raw myself. Let her mix it up with Charlotte and that crop there again, because we've you know, we've seen a lot of Sasha versus the SmackDown women's roster, and you could fix that by bringing in new people to SmackDown, I guess, but I just think it's easier to move Sasha to Raw. There aren't that many many women knocking about in the company in general, so I don't think it matters terribly where people are.
No.
My main kind of prediction is that Roman Reigns and the Bloodline are staying on SmackDown.
Yeah.
I don't think Fox are willing to let that go.
No.
I think they've really been happy with that. That's been the driving force behind SmackDown actually being a watchable show for the last year. I don't see them being willing to give that up. And then they build Raw around Big E as champion in the New Day. And the thing that confused me was the end of Raw with Drew McIntyre,
because
I really think they're going to take Drew McIntyre to SmackDown with Roman Reigns.
Yeah, I could see that.
I think there's a long rivalry in the making there.
Yeah.
And, you know, Bobby Lashley and the Hurt Business could go with.
I can see Bobby Lashley and the Hurt Business going over, because then you could possibly get the match between Bobby and Brock Lesnar. Finally.
Yeah.
They move Brock Lesnar over to Raw.
I wouldn't do that. He's been Raw for the majority of his career, I think. I think that core of four kind of main eventers, Lashley, McIntyre, Reigns, and Lesnar.
Yeah.
Lesnar part-time, obviously, but still.
Yeah.
I think that's a good year's worth of programming there.
Yeah.
I'd be happy with that. And then the other big kind of prediction I have is that we're going to swap the US and Intercontinental Champions.
Oh, okay.
So
Nakamura go to Raw
with Boogs.
SmackDown.
Yes.
Boom.
Yeah. I think that Shinsuke, even when he's not Intercontinental Champion anymore, is on the verge of a big push.
Mm.
And something along the lines of, you know, Big E versus Shinsuke would be cracking on Raw.
That'd be amazing.
And also, we've still got some kind of unfinished stuff with Cesaro. So Cesaro over to Raw as well. And kind of bring that less kind of monstery giant people group over to Raw to wrestle yeah. good matches. The more kind of entertainment-y, soap opera-y kind of people, like yeah. your Big E's and your Shinsuke's.
Yeah.
Yeah. Keep AJ Styles on Raw as well. Got a good core of good wrestlers yeah. there then to have quality matches and rivalries. But it does seem like all of a sudden, and I like this because I like them, that stables are back in WWE.
Yeah.
Seem to be built around three major stables now in the Bloodline, the New Day and the Hurt Business.
Yeah.
Yeah. Plus, I suppose, Jinder Mahal's stable. That's another one.
Oh, what, the Alcoholics Anonymous?
Oh, yeah, that's it. Yeah, Beer Shandy and Jinder, which is Indian for Spritzer. Jinder's actually Indian for Spritzer, if you didn't know. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, but they could, you know, give him a little bit of a boost behind that stable up to the championship again, potentially. I don't see this draft being hugely groundbreaking because of the Fox dynamic and them wanting to keep SmackDown as good as it's been.
Yeah.
I think it's only really in the under the main event kind of area that they're gonna change it, really. They'll probably just swap the tag teams around willy-nilly. This new tag team of Angel Garza and Humberto Carrillo, that I really like, by the way, they'll probably shift those over to SmackDown in exchange for Alpha Academy. You know, just mix up a few of the tag teams so that we can have some different people fighting. Do you reckon they try and do something with the tag team champions? Oh, no, I guess not, because...
No, I don't think they will, because obviously you got the SmackDown Tag Team Championships on the Usos at the moment, so they're part of the Bloodline.
Yeah, so if Roman's staying, they're staying.
Yeah, and then the Raw is Randy and Riddle.
Mm-hmm. Which they're not finished with yet. That hasn't paid off.
I think they'll stay where they are.
That's staying where they are, yeah. There you go. There you are, then. Mm. Any other major kind of ideas or predictions from the draft? I think I've covered everything I wanted to put out there.
I think that's basically covered it all.
Yeah. And then you've got guys that for whom the draft is irrelevant, like your Goldbergs, who are just going to follow whatever championship they want and follow Bobby Lashley at this stage. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. Well. That brings us to a close, then. We'll be back next Tuesday, same time, 4 p.m. UK time, to discuss the draft from top to bottom, react to everything that's happened, see how right or wrong we were. As for me, I'm going to be back on Twitch, on my main channel, twitch.tv/TheJezShow, at around 8 o'clock. Our good friend Always Be Chatting is not able to stream tonight. He's got a work commitment. So I'm gonna fill that gap. I'm going to do some Stream Racer and Stream Raiders and generally chat and hang out and have a nice evening with the community.
Nice.
So that'll be cool. Then I'm also back tomorrow afternoon with some GTA 3.
Cool.
I like GTA 3. It's pretty good. Yeah, I'm slightly behind the curve, obviously, but I did also like it when it first came out in 2001 or whatever. I also liked wrestling a bit more in 2001.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think everyone did.
Yeah.
Thanks for joining us here on the main roster. It hasn't been wholly positive, but, we've certainly dug deep on Extreme Rules and put it to task. You put it to task, especially with that brutal 1.5 rating. At least it got the 0.5, I suppose.
Yeah, it got a 0.5.
Could have been a 1.
It could always be worse. Mm. It could have just been a 0.5.
Yeah. Perfect timing for me to return from a soggy wander. Indeed, Harmstone, this has been a bit of a soggy wander in itself, this show. So,
yeah.
And we'll see you next week. I've been Jez.
I've been Dan.
And this has been the main roster. Thanks for joining us.
Bye-bye.